been talking about the seven churches, amen, of Revelation, the seven churches where God is speaking to the churches. His son Jesus Christ has bringing a revelation to John to write down and send these letters to the churches because God loves them. How many know when God brings correction, it's out of love? And God was bringing correction to seven churches there, but five of them needed correction. The other two were doing pretty good, so God didn't have to correct them, but he did encourage them. Amen? So we've looked at three of them so far, right? We've looked at Ephesus, right? Smyrna and Pergamos. Now we're on what? What's the name of the church we're doing today? Anybody know? Okay, we'll go with that. Amen. That's the one we're looking at today. In the New King James, last week we looked at the church where it said it's the church of compromise. This one is a church of what? Come on. Nobody reads it? The corrupt church. Amen. It was corrupted. I want to show you something that's interesting with God. God, you know, God does things that just amaze you when you start searching it out and looking at it stuff. And I saw this. I didn't get this on my own, honestly. I got it from my research and so on. But it blew my mind as I sat there and looked at it. God is a God of order. You remember what I told you a long time ago? Divine connection produces divine order. Divine order produces what? Divine purpose. Divine purpose does what? Brings divine glory. Divine glory always brings divine praise. Amen? And so God is trying to do that not only in the church as a whole, but he's trying to do that individually. Amen. God wants to bring order to your life so you fulfill your purpose. You don't want to stand before the master in that day, whatever day that happens to be, whether through the rapture or through the ground and our ascension, because to be absent from the body is to what? Be present with the Lord. Amen? And so we want to know that we don't stand before him ashamed. Amen? I don't want to be ashamed standing before him that I didn't fulfill my purpose. Because God gave me everything I need to fulfill my purpose. Amen. You can't say, well, I couldn't, I didn't know, I don't know what to do, I don't know. Everybody knows, because God is not going to keep secrets from anybody. There are some things we'll never know until we stand before him. It's not because he's keeping a secret. He just did not give us the information. Not that he didn't want to. But I believe with all my heart, we wouldn't be able to contain. We wouldn't be able to, we couldn't handle. If he opened up his mind and gave it all to us, we wouldn't be able to handle it. We'd be blown away. I mean, just the simple things that I see in the scriptures blows me away. This isn't just about going to church. This is about being life. Living our life in a way that fulfills your purpose in this life. Because if you don't, you'll always be dissatisfied. You'll always want more. You always can't understand why this happens and why that happens. If you understand your purpose, you can see the fulfillment of why it's coming to pass, what's going on in your life. Amazing. Amen? Hallelujah. If I get in the car and I turn the key on and the thing doesn't start, well, now it's pushing a button. Pretty soon it'll be just speaking to it, whatever. Whatever's going on. And it doesn't start and fulfill its purpose, there's a reason it's not.
That's right.
Amen? And you might not be able to figure it out yourself, but you have somebody who can help you do it, a mechanic.
Amen.
You got somebody to help you called the Holy Spirit. If you can't figure out why it isn't working the way God said it should, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Every time. And not only will he reveal it to you, he'll help you fix it. So the next time you push go, you'll go. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. So let's look at this the way it's already set up in here by God. The first thing that happened in Ephesus was what? They left their first love. Amen? They left their first love. And they hated the teachings of Balaam. All right? God liked that. But they left their first love. What happened to the second one? In Pergamum, because they left their first love, they started compromising with the world. When you leave the first love you have for Christ, you'll compromise what God told you. In other words, he'll tell you don't do that, and you'll make excuses why you have to do that. Compromise. And once you set a course of compromise, you'll end up in corruption. The third church, the one we're looking at today, begins with your leaving the first love. If you love anything, anybody more than Jesus, you've left your first love. It's not about what he does for us. It's not about what he gives to us. It's not about any of that. It's about who he is. We said at the beginning of this, he called himself the Son of God. He's the Son of God. You weren't created unless he had his hand in it. Amen? Nothing was created except by him and through him. Amen? Come on. That's got to be your first love. He created me. Not only did he create me, he said he keeps me. He keeps me. I'm alive today because he kept me alive when I should have died. Oh, I did die. Yes, I did die. Out of 35 people, I was the only one in that situation who was brought back to life from that ambulance crew. Why? It wasn't my turn yet. Nobody can take me out of this life until God says it's time. Amen. Why should I love him? He keeps me. Amen? Not only that, he's promoting me. Paul said, you know, it's all right. I should be here for you. Now, I'm not, this is what Paul said. But if I had my choice, I'd be with him. That's a promotion. In Paul's eyes, that was a promotion. It wasn't a demotion. If you're going down, that's a demotion. Amen. If you're heading the other way, that's a demotion. If you're going up, that's a promotion. So you want to make sure, how do you get up? Because he promoted me at the cross at Calvary. It was a cross when he took all my sins upon himself and gave me his righteousness. He became my sin, I became his righteousness. The righteousness is all that is a right to go through the door into eternity with God. That's what it is. In that, because I have that righteousness that's Christ, many doors down here are open to me. But I'm not to open any doors that he doesn't want me to open. I'm getting the feedback here again. Hallelujah. So, first thing, we'll make sure he loves us. Hallelujah. And don't compromise. I don't care if somebody comes along and said, if you love me, you will do this. And you do it, and you know you shouldn't be doing it. Called compromise. You compromise your faith in Christ. You compromise the Word of God in you. You compromise the Spirit of God that's leading and guiding you to do and fulfill and to please some man or woman. You can't please God and please man. You can't serve God and serve mammon. Mammon, meaning the riches of this world, the things of this world. You can't do that. You're going to end up hating one and loving the other and loving the one and hating the other. So you might as well make up your mind right at the very beginning. When you get saved, this is it. I'm following Jesus. Whether you follow or not, I'm following. Amen. That's it. I love you dearly, but I'm following Jesus because I love him the most. Amen? No compromise. I told you about my compromise the other day. And I did it. I emailed the gentleman. He emailed me back and told me exactly how this contract operated, that we did nothing wrong, that he had this agreement with this other company, and I'm fine. With what I did, I was fine. I didn't do anything wrong. But I wanted to make sure I was in the right place.
Amen.
Had nothing to do with him. Had nothing to do with the other stuff. I had to be in the right place. Because I know when I compromise. I know when I do things to benefit me rather than to benefit him. You know what benefits him? When you bless somebody else instead of always wanting to be blessed. That brings glory and honor to him. You find ways to be a blessing to others without compromising the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, no sexual immorality. No fornication, no adultery, no lusting after others. Oh boy. Well, you're easy. You're 70 years old. You can't do it anymore anyways. Oh, my God, you're talking about that. How many, I don't care. How many know God created us to have sex in a very appropriate manner and time? Do you understand, and I didn't mean to get into this, but do you understand whoever you have relationships with in a sexual manner, you become part of that? You become one with that. Think of anybody you've had sex with. And this, when God showed me this, boy, I had a lot of repenting to do in my life. I didn't know him. I wasn't walking with him when I started walking in this life. I did things that were very inappropriate. It's called sin, to be exact. Amen? But ignorance does not give excuses. Because there's always a result of sin. There's something coming. I don't care what it is. And so I got before God. I started repenting. And every once in a while, a thought comes to my mind. I said, yes, Lord, I forgot that one. Ask your forgiveness. I repent of it. I'm serious about this. I remember a guy one time, I was listening to a program, and this guy said, when I got saved, I got taught about tithing and offerings. And he was like, I don't know, 60 or 65, whatever he was, 70, whatever he was. He went back and figured out his tithes and offerings and paid it all forward. He was serious. When you get serious about this, you really understand that God's here involved in all of this. You really get thinking, you go, wow, what did I do? Not to be caught up. Listen, this is the thing. This is, some people say, oh, you're just sin conscious. No, but I am conscious of sin. Because sin will harm you. And if you don't think that past sins affects people's lives today, oh, I can tell you people who are depressed, people on drugs, people on medication, people going to doctors, to psychologists, psychiatrists, because of past sin. All they had to do was go to the cross. Let the blood of Jesus Christ wash away all the shame, all the fear, all the cares, all the worries, all the junk that was there that had them bound up. And they will be free. For Jesus came to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver those who are bound. And when you have past sins that you keep and you don't deal with them, and the easiest thing to do, once you come to the cross, you Father, forgive me. I repent of that. Ask your forgiveness. It's done. It's not something you have to do. You don't have to crawl up steps on your knees. You don't have to whip yourself with a whip. None of that stuff. It's done. Jesus did all that for you. He did it all on the cross for you to deal with those things. They can still mentally mess you up if you don't understand the cross and what the blood did and how you are free from that. Amen? Hallelujah. So how did I get all the way to there? Because we ended up talking about sin and going on. Okay, let's back up now. I want to read to you Revelation chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 18. And I'm going to use the word that we use in English for Thyatira. 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 You know, why couldn't they just put, you know, Nassau? Okay, let's talk about Nassau. Okay. And to the angel of the church of Nassau, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into the sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I'll give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have the doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. As I also have received from my Father, and I'll give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To begin with, we've got to understand this. We try to do it by the Spirit of God. I've said this to you before, and I'll say it again. If you take the message that I bring to you and you say, that's it, you're in trouble. As Paul said, be like good Bereans. Go search out the scriptures for yourself and find out what God is speaking to the church. Amen? On Wednesday nights, we're doing a study. And the study is called, Once Saved, Always Saved, Fact or Fiction. Once saved, always saved, fact or fiction. Interesting study. I told them when I came into it, I said, listen, I'm doing this, but I am not trying to convince you one way or the other. You choose. Don't use past information you have to influence your ideas right now. You make sure that you base your faith on the Word of God and nothing else. Not on what man brings to you. Because I know there's people, I won't go there. I know there's people who stand before you and say, that's what it means, 100%. I have changed from my first walk with Christ when I started walking with Him. Even from the time we started the church, I have changed what I have learned and the knowledge I have gained over the period of time. Hopefully I've matured. Hopefully I've gained as we went through the years. I've gained a little bit, and not by mine, it's by the grace of God. It's not because of me, because I've gotten smarter. No. What comes to me is what the Holy Spirit reveals to me. Much of my preaching today is not by my notes, but by what God is speaking to me at the moment. So sometimes things come out. We talk about sin and we talk about those other things. But it's just things that God brings forth. Why? Because the same Spirit that was trying to bring it to this church is trying to bring itself to us. Amen? It's the Spirit of God bringing out revelation of what needs to be done in order to fulfill your purpose here on this earth. And trust me when you say, well, only God. Yes, only God. Only God. Nobody else can do that. Only God. God is working. God sees your life from the moment you wake up in the morning. Oh, no, wait a minute. He knows your life when you're sleeping. He knows your life when you're sleeping. He knows your life when you get up in the morning. He knows your life during the day. He knows your life when you go to bed at night. And he knows your life when you're sleeping. Not only does he know it, he's involved in it. Amen? It's not because you're good. It's because he loves you. When you chose to accept the sacrifice of his son at the cross at Calvary, you became his child. And God does not ignore his child. When they get noisy, he doesn't put them in a room and shut the door. He doesn't put them to bed because they're crying and moaning. God continually works to see your fulfillment of your purpose because he created you for a purpose. Amen? So our God is working always. So we're going to gain in knowledge. We're going to grow. This is what this church was about. This church here, Thyatira, Thotera, that's in Greek. Probably not even close to that either, but that's all right. Listen, it was a small church, but it's got the longest letter written to it. It was in the same position near Pergamos over there. It's about 45 miles away, so something like that, in Turkey, still over in Turkey. And it was a place where commerce was very, very, very busy, people. One of the biggest activities was dyeing. Do you remember Lydia in Acts? She came from that area. And she heard Paul over there, heard the message, and got saved. So here's this church growing up in that area. And you noticed that the church was very progressive. In other words, it wasn't a stagnant church. It was growing in love. It was growing in faithfulness. It was growing in service. What did he say? What was the other one? In patience, endurance, continuing in. They weren't stagnant. They were getting, actually, he says, your last works are greater than your former. So they are progressing in their walk of love. They're progressing in the amount of service they do for the kingdom of God. He was encouraged. Matter of fact, this is the only church where he commended them on their love. Think about that. The only church that he commended them on their love. Now, if we in this church here, if we could say, man, I'm loving more today than I was when I first got saved. I'm serving God more today than when I first got saved. I am enduring more now. I am able to wait on the Lord, have patience more now than when I first got saved. My faith is stronger than when I first got saved. Can we say that for this church? Can we say that for our individuals? That I am growing. And I am more involved with God today than ever before. Jesus is saying, well done. But I got this about you. Wouldn't we all think how great we are? Wouldn't we all stand up and just pat ourselves on the back? I can't reach it, so I did the front here. Amen? Come on now. You all think, man, I'm doing good. You would? Come on. You'd be pretty proud of yourself. We all would. But if all of those are operating, then so is the Holy Spirit working. And he's going to talk to you. He says, yeah, you guys are doing great. You really are. I commend you for your love, your faith, your works. I commend you for enduring through all the battles of life and all the temptations of this world has to offer. But there's just something a little bit I got to talk to you about. And that's what he was saying to the church here. So you got somebody in your church who's teaching things that are contrary to my word. I've instructed you on this. Matter of fact, when Paul went to the church, went to the apostles, and he said, God is calling me to the Gentiles, they had a big meeting and discussion about it. And everybody is sitting around there, all the apostles are sitting around there. And I can hear him now talking. He said, boy, I'm glad Paul was called to this and not me. I like being right where I'm at. And they said, finally, they came to a conclusion. They came to an agreement. And I said, Paul, if you're going to go out, make sure of two things. Only two things you got to worry about when talking to the Gentiles. Make sure you get this across. If nothing else, get this across to them. Number one, no sexual immorality. Number two, don't eat food offered to idols. It's the only thing he told them to do. What was going on in this church? Sexual immorality. Eating food offered to idols. The two things they were instructed Paul to tell the Gentiles or those without God. Here's the church doing all their works, all the wonderful things, walking in love, doing all the faith, everything enduring. But two things he has to deal with. And the reason they were going on is because they had a Jezebel in the church. Some places, people believe that some commentators say that she might not have been part of the church. Maybe she was an outside force. Most think that she was part of that church. So the problem wasn't outwardly, it was inwardly. In the church itself. Now, remember where they were, it was a commerce area, a commerce city, and they had what they called these guilds, or unions, if you would. They had unions. The dyes had their union. The carpenters had their union. The, the cloth makers over here, the weavers had their union. And the unions had a gathering or feast every once in a while. And all those would gather together. And in the process of these feasts, they would honor their god, which was an idol of some form. Part of their worship of this idol was normally including sexual immorality. In other words, they had, many of them had temple prostitutes where they would go in and do worship, and part of their worship was having sexual relationships. Also, they had what food that was offered to idols, because when they worship, offer the idol. And they would partake of it as part of their feast. Now, God very clearly instructed the people to stay away from that stuff, to separate themselves, to come out from amongst them, because that's where they came out of, that environment. They came out of being part of that group of people. They got saved. They came into the church. And now comes, as we talked about last week, where they bring in the pagan idols and pagan ways into the church, incorporated them into it, and people started compromising their truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to include things out there. The prophetess Jezebel was doing the same thing. Now, more than likely, what she would do is she didn't just tell them to go there and just go and partake of the feast and go partake of the sexual morality, go partake of the food and all that stuff. No, she probably said something like this. God set you free. You're not under that anymore. You're not under the law. Remember, you're free. There's a lot of teachings out there right now, even today, it's carried through the centuries, that you can sin with your body and it doesn't affect your spirit that's saved. Not true, but that's what's taught. Again, and I want to emphasize this. I truly want to emphasize this. I am not looking for ways to be sin conscious, but we need to be conscious of sin. This church was doing everything they knew to do, but then they were allowing false teaching, false doctrine to come into the church, and they were being affected by it. Not only affected by it, they're being infected by it. And remember what he said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. At the moment, it doesn't look like it's going to bother you, but it will eventually, because the accumulation of the sin eventually weighs you down. It'll even crush you. The first thing we know, 1 John, we know what to do if we sin. Confess your sin. In Hebrews 10, what did it say? If you willingly sin, knowing that you shouldn't do it, and you keep doing it because you want to do it and you don't care what God said, be careful. We talked about that last week. So here it is, Jezebel. Now, where do we hear Jezebel from? Go back into 1 Kings, around chapter 18 or 19, around in that area. You remember Ahab the king? His wife's name was Jezebel. And what did Jezebel do? First of all, the king messed up, Ahab, because he was told not to marry outside of the Jewish nation. And what did he do? He went and married Jezebel, who was of idol-worshipping group. When he did that, Jezebel brought what she had knowledge of into the marriage. Jezebel was a pretty persuasive woman. And she persuaded Ahab to start following her God. And in the midst of that, she then persuaded Ahab, or at least her followers of Baal, to kill the prophets of Israel. And she was in the process of doing that and killed many of them. And then you remember what this story about Elijah coming, the fire and all that, right? But I want you to back up for a second. Look at Jezebel. Now here's where I'm coming from it. Again, search out the scriptures. Was Jezebel a real person there? More than likely. Yes. Was she named Jezebel? Now we know what Jezebel was in the Old Testament. When you call somebody a Jezebel, what kind of connotation does it have? Not a nice one, right? Come on now. Well, then either. Is it possible her name wasn't Jezebel, but are you dealing with a spirit of Jezebel? The same spirit that caused her to do what she did. And she tried to kill off all the prophets. Now we have another one who's trying to cause people to turn away from God. The same way she tried back there to get them to turn away from God and to follow another path. Remember what he said in Ephesians 6? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers of the darkness world, evil, wicked spirits in the heavenlies. So we know for a fact that our situation, when we're fighting battles, it's spiritual in nature. How did Jesus get tempted? Amen? Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. He was tempted. When he became hungry, it says that the tempter came to tempt him. Right? And what did he say? He's hungry. Make this stone into what? Bread. He took him up on the high place. Think about it. The purpose of the spirit of Satan and his demonic hordes is to tempt you to do something you know you shouldn't be doing. The Bible says you're carried away by the lust of your own flesh. These things have been around since you were created and born. They know exactly what can tempt you. Their full purpose is to tempt you away from God and to follow another path. And because of the weakness of the flesh, I didn't get this from anybody but myself. I believe personally, this is my own personal belief, and you can disagree with me however you want to do it, that's fine. But I believe that those spiritual forces are still at work. If God opened our eyes, we could open a window and see them standing right there outside. Matter of fact, you could see them seated right there. Right there, right there, right there. But we also could see greater is he who is in us than he who is in that worldly system. We have the ability to overcome temptation. I don't care who you are, as long as you're born again, a spirit-filled child of God, God did not leave you nor forsake you. He gave you the authority and the power to overcome all forms of temptation. Those people in the church were thinking to themselves, I'm a carpenter. I can't get a job unless I belong to that union or the guild. If I don't go to that feast, if I don't partake of their feast and their way of doing things, I can't feed my family. The Jezebel spirit, or that one person that spirit uses, will come alongside of you and say, you know what? Don't worry about it. God knows your heart. You're all right. You'll be fine. Go ahead. God knows your heart. You can do anything you want. It's not your fault. You're fine. You're saved. You're all right. Nothing can harm you now. And that's what that spirit does. It entices you to believe the lie rather than the truth. It's still operating in the church today. How are we doing? Why do you think Jesus said, those who have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying? Why? Because he's trying to instruct them how to have power over all the enemy. You will only have that by the Spirit of God revealing to you what's dealing in your life. That's what he's saying here. He's trying to how to overcome your enemies. Who are your enemies? Not the people around you, not your family, not the people in Washington, not the people over here. Your enemies are the spiritual forces that are arrayed against you because the blood of Jesus Christ is on you. When you got washed in the blood never left. You are like a beacon to those demonic hordes because you shine bright red. And they will come. And they will tempt you. Hallelujah. Isn't it good? Jesus said, listen, I'm going to deal with this. What was he saying? I'm going to deal with the one who allows himself to be used by that Jezebel spirit. How am I going to deal with him? What did he say? I'm going to throw her into a sick bed. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to wait till she dies to deal with her. I'm going to deal with her right now. Now, you read in there, you will find that he gave her time to repent. But she didn't. Jesus never moves and does what he needs to do to bring correction unless he first gives you plenty of time to repent. He gave David plenty of time to repent where Bathsheba was concerned. And when he didn't repent, he sent a man of God to tell him, you got to repent. When Saul was in the same boat, he refused to repent. Even though the man of God came to him, he made all excuses. It's all the people's fault. It's all this fault. It's all that fault. What did David do? Yes, I sinned, Father. I sinned against you and you alone. There's a difference. There's two forms of people there. There are people who will hear the Spirit of God, who hear see the Word of God, will hear a teaching or whatever, and they'll recognize, Father, like I said earlier here, I repented, Father, but I haven't had the grateful heart I should. I haven't been so thankful. Forgive me. And they'll say, I recognize myself in that. That's me. I repent, Father. In that, when you do, that's when you start overcoming the enemy. You overcome that thing which has bound you for so long, that thing that keeps harassing you. When you start repenting and turning away from it, pretty soon that thing just doesn't stumble around so often. Don't be ignorant. He did it with Jesus. He said he left him for a more opportune time. If you've been tempted and you have fallen into temptation, and all of a sudden you stand up and you say, no more, no more, no more. I repent, Father. I recognize. I repent, Lord God. Don't think that thing's going to leave and just never touch you and come at you again. You'll always find a way. You might be depressed. You might be struggling with other things in your life. And all of a sudden that thought comes up. That's why he said to us, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not only do you need to repent, you need to renew your mind with the Word of God. For without the Word of God, you have no weapon. Without the Word of God, you have no shield of faith. Without the Word of God, you're not going to win the victory. It's in Christ and Christ alone. He is the living Word. Did we find the victory? We're going to win. Amen. There's great things about everyone in this place. There's things that the Lord Jesus would stand before you and say, I love the way you love. I love the way you walk in faith and trust in me. I love the way you work and serve me in these days. I love it. But I got something else. We need to deal with this. Yeah, but Lord, isn't it enough? With God, it's never enough. Matter of fact, he said he's more than enough. See? They're calling me. They want the message now. Praise God. Amen. Listen, guys. There's great things ahead. Great things. Things we don't know. Things we can't even conceive of God has planned for us. But if there's something there. If there's something there. It sounds like that. If there's something there. Deal with it. And you say, Lord, I can't. I tried. I can't. Help me. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to send you help. What kind of help? You don't know. Could be just your brother or sister in Christ just coming alongside to encourage you, to pray with you, to bless you. It might be the Word. He just sends a Word to you. Let me say something too. In there you find that he said, and I'll kill his children, her children. Yeah. How many know that God doesn't change? He wasn't talking about children that you would have children. He's talking about those who follow her. You understand? God isn't in that business. when he lets go, and we will see it, well, by the grace of God, we'll see it from up there. And you see Revelation, and you see the wrath of God being poured out. You'll know it. You'll know it. God's only dealing with them this way because there was no other way to get to them. They wouldn't listen. He gave them time. I'm sure he also told them. He said, if you overcome in the last days when we're standing down here after Armageddon, after Jesus comes back and sets foot on the earth again and he sets up his millennial kingdom, you're going to rule and reign with him. You're going to rule and reign with him. I mean, you're going to be over nations. You're going to be over cities. You're going to be over. What's that mean? You're still going to have people on this earth who aren't saved. People on this earth who are still here, went through tribulation. They made it, but they're not saved. Somebody's still got to guide them. Somebody's still got to rule over them. In other words, you're going to be a shepherd. That word to rule over means to shepherd. You're going to shepherd them. You're going to bring them the knowledge you've gained while you've been in heaven. You're going to gain a lot of knowledge up there. You know that, don't you? We're going to find out a lot of things we thought weren't true. A lot of things we thought were true. But there's going to be a lot of things you're going to learn up there when you're spending time with him in heavenly places. You're seated with him. You'll be being taught. You'll be schooling. You'll be getting downloads. And when you come back here, you'll be prepared to rule and reign with him. Amen? It's a work of God. It's a work of God. God has so much for you. Now, is there something, Father, if there's anything in me, anything at all, that I've allowed to separate me from that walk with you, that perfect position, help me. First of all, show me. Second of all, forgive me. Third of all, help me to keep my life in order with you. I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. The bottom line is this. Don't tolerate sin. You understand? Don't tolerate it. Because whatever you allow, it'll grow more and more and more. I liked one story. Was about this woman who said she was writing a message. And she said, I put out a beautiful garden, and it was a flower garden. And she loved to look through her window at it. She just loved looking at it. One day, she looked out there, and there was a weed growing up. She ran out there, grabbed that weed, pulled it out, went back and looked outside the window again, and said, boy, this is nice. I love my flower garden. Well, a few days later, she's looking out there again, and there's another weed growing. Ran out, grabbed the weed, pulled it out, went back in the house. Boy, I love my flower garden. It's so pretty. Then a few days later, she looked out, and there was another weed coming. She had to run because she was in a hurry. She had to get someplace. I'll get it when I get home. She got home. She was too tired. I'll get it tomorrow, she said. Tomorrow came up, and she got busy again and forgot all about it. Next time she looked out there, there was a bunch of weeds. And she said, I got to get back out there. I got to get out there. She went and got the gloves, and the phone rang. She got busy on the phone, forgot all about it. And the next time she looked out, the place was filled with weeds. Could hardly see the flowers anymore. That's what sin will do to you. Little sin, at first, doesn't seem like anything. Doesn't matter if we watch that. Doesn't matter if we listen to that. It doesn't matter if we go there. Heck, I'm saved. I'm not worried about it. At first, it doesn't look bad. Eventually, it catches up with us. Pretty soon, the sin outweighs the righteousness. Not by God's standard. By the way we act, the way we talk, where we go, what we do. It happens. And it can happen to any of us. Don't think it can't happen to me. Take heed, lest those who think they stand. The possibility is easy to fall. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your grace, your mercy, and your love. We thank you again, Father God, that if there's a Jezebel spirit that is moving on us and in us or through us or whatever, we ask, Father, for divine revelation. Show us, Father. Reveal it to us. We know, Father, that we are weak in areas of our lives, but we also know that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We know your word, Father, is a shield and a sword to fight and win the victory. Help us this day, Father God, that we may fulfill your purpose for our lives here in this earth. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen.